Hey y'all, this is Sam, and this is Crimology. This is episode 148. Before we get started, make sure to do all of the things. We have Instagram and Facebook that you can follow. Both of those are at Crimology Pod. We've got an email, crimologypod@gmail.com. You can send us literally anything, comments, questions, concerns. Hey, you're doing this great. Hey, you suck at this. I hate this. Let us know all of those things there. I've said this the last couple of episodes that we've got this episode and then we've got two more in this season, and then we're going to finish out the rest of the states next season. But then after that, I don't know exactly if I'm going to stick with a theme again or if I'm just going to go kind of to more random cases. So this is something that you can send to our email, is what you want to hear. If you like themes or if you just like random cases. Sometimes I find that doing random cases, even themes, everything is hard because there are so many different cases out there that it doesn't help limit it all. And so it helps if you guys are like, hey, this is what I like to hear, even if it's one person. I'm somebody who one person can tell me, hey, I like this. And I'm like, okay, then I'm running with that. So those are things that you can email us, or you can just, we've got obviously Instagram, DMS, Facebook, DMS, comment on any of our posts. And I get all of those things. And just let us know kind of what you guys want to hear for the next season. So we hit 30,000 plays. I'm a little bit late. We're about 30,300 plays, which is just cool. I was talking to my mom a couple weeks ago. It's been about 2 or 3 months that Stephen hasn't been here. And so it's turned into kind of where I go to Stephen and we go into our makeshift studio that we've kind of built. And that's where we record versus now I'm doing it in my bedroom. And so it just feels like I'm doing a lot of rambling. And so I was kind of worried that this kind of would be the end of this, or I would just kind of let it fade out into nothing. But still seeing the numbers grow, even though it's now just me, has been super cool. So thank you guys. It really does mean, I think, a little bit more now that it's just me, that you guys are still coming back and you're still listening and still enjoying what you're hearing. So just thank you guys for 30,000 plays and for listening and coming back. It means a lot and it's just super cool. So like I said, two more episodes in this season, and then I'm just going to take a little bit of a break. I don't know if it'll be 2 weeks or if it'll be a week, but then it'll be just a little bit of a break just for me to be able to kind of grow up a little bit of a quota of episodes that I've already written, so that way I can fall back on this when I need to record. And then we'll finish the 50 states, and then we will move on to something else. So let's just jump into this week's episode. This is episode 148, Ken McElroy. So this week's state is Missouri. So some fun facts. Besides, this is where Stephen's side of the family is from, his dad's side of the family, and where his grandparents live. So that's our first fun fact, is that he's from that area, or maybe not him, but you know what I mean. Missouri is known as the Cave State, with more than 6,100 caves. The state bird is the bluebird, and the state animal is the Missouri mole. And a fun fact that I didn't know you could go inside of the Gateway Arch till like last year. I met a new friend from Missouri, and he mentioned like, oh, like, if you ever want to go, like, we could go here, there, there. And then he was like, we could go inside, you know, we could go up the arch. And I was like, first off, what's the arch? And then I was like, wait, you can go inside that? I don't know. I just thought it was a big piece of art, which sounds stupid now. But, like, the Chicago Bean? Like, that's what I thought. Just the arch was a giant, I mean, obviously, I know an arch and a bean are not the same type of structure. But anyways, so I learned that like last year, where I was like, you can go inside the arch. That's kind of cool. And then last fun fact, prior to the prohibition, Missouri was the second largest wine producer. So there you go. So another case we've already covered for this state is Gypsy Rose Blanchard. So make sure to go listen to that one. So this week we're talking about a murder that to this day still isn't solved for the wildest reason. So we're talking about Ken, who lived in the small town of Skidmore, Missouri. He was born and raised there, and he was known as the town bully. Throughout his life, he had been accused of many crimes, but the difference was that he never served any jail time for any of these crimes he was accused of. He was accused of assault, child molestation, rape, arson, burglary, and animal cruelty, but always got out of these cases. Ken, in total, was charged with 21 different crimes, serving no jail time for any of these. So because of this, he wasn't a town favorite. Ken would do something to someone in town, he'd get away scot-free, and then the people were getting annoyed and they were getting angry that all of, you know, either they were losing something or something was happening to one of their family members, one of their friends, one of their neighbors, and then they knew exactly who was doing it, but then he wouldn't get any jail time. And so then it basically turned into where Ken's just walking around town doing whatever he wanted to do because he got away with everything. So it was always this, you closed shop whenever Ken was walking by, or you just knew that something was going to happen. Ken was born in Skidmore in 1934, and he never moved away. Ken dropped out of school when he was in the eighth grade, and this is when his life of crimes begins. Now, one of the big reasons Ken never saw jail time was because he would intimidate any witnesses that were going to go up against him. Then what would happen is they would be too scared to testify against him. So then later, the charges would either be dropped or he just get away with it, because then now that they're not testifying, there's no witnesses to it. So who's to say that Ken was even the one that did it? And so then that's how he would get away with everything. One situation in particular, Ken raped a 12-year-old girl. He managed to get out of this situation by divorcing his wife at the time and then marrying this girl when she turned 14 and she was pregnant with his child. Now, the girl's parents were not okay with this marriage, obviously. So they told Ken no to begin with. They laughed in his face like, yeah, no, this is not happening. But to get the parents to agree, Ken ended up shooting the family's dog and then setting their house on fire. Now, after both of these things happening, obviously the parents agreed to the marriage after, I think, record shows that he burnt the house down twice, because I think now I say the house down, and then he burnt, started a fire in one of the rooms, and then it did sub a lot of damage. But they were able to stop that fire. And then I think they still were like, yeah, no, just because you threw a little tantrum, it doesn't mean you get to marry our daughter. And then he was like, okay. And then he set a second fire. And I think that was the fire that burnt the whole house down. So now they've lost everything. So it was a little bit of, you're just like, all right, well, I guess we kind of need Ken's help. So yeah, I guess we'll do whatever you say if you help us, is kind of what that turned into. So he was able to get out of this charge by literally marrying the girl he had just raped. And then in July 1976, Ken shot a local farmer named Henry in the stomach with a shotgun. Henry ended up surviving his injuries, and Ken was charged with assault with intent to kill. However, Ken was able to get two witnesses that said they were out hunting with Ken at the time of the shooting, and that they were nowhere near Henry's property. So because of this, Ken also got away with this crime scot-free, and he was found not guilty, because if you've got two witnesses that are saying, yeah, no, he was with us miles away hunting, then how can Henry say, oh, no, he's the one that shot me in the stomach? So it was things like that, that you were just like, he had this town wrapped around his finger, and he had everybody in this town wrapped around his finger. And then in 1980, Ken shot a local grocer named Beau in the neck after the two men got in a fight over whether or not Ken's kid stole a piece of candy or not. By the way, fun fact, Ken had 10 children with multiple different women. Just a fun fact to throw out there. So Beau ended up surviving his injuries also, and he also charged Ken with assault with intent to kill. Ken was let out on bail while he was awaiting trial, and when he was out, he goes to Beau's store and threatens Beau publicly with a rifle. So Beau ends up dropping the charges. Now, to add to all of this, let's remember that Ken dropped out of school when he's in the eighth grade. So Ken couldn't read well to begin with, and he hadn't practiced it in so long. So at this point, he could barely read, if at all. He didn't have a bank account. He didn't have a social security number. He wasn't very educated. However, he was able to outwit the justice system on multiple occasions, and people just didn't know how. You know, when you go to school, you learn things like this, and so it was just, this is like the perfect example of street smarts. Like, Ken was so street smart, and he was able to have the knowledge to talk himself out of these major charges and literally never see jail time, but like he couldn't read at the same time. So it was just this, the town was like, how is he getting away with this? Like, he doesn't have money, so he's not buying help. He doesn't have educational talent, so he's not like using that to his ability. It was literally just everybody was scared of him, and everybody knew that he could do the awful things to him, and so he was just getting away with all of this. So I think that's part of the craziest part of the story. The one person who talked highly of Ken was his lawyer, Richard. Richard said Ken was the best client he ever had because Ken was punctual. He always said he never did the crime. He always paid in cash. And that Ken always came back to use Richard later on. Richard said Ken would always tell him that he would pay him however much, whatever amount of money, as long as he kept him out of jail. Now, going to July 10th, 1981, the people of Skidmore are fed up with Ken. He keeps getting away with everything. He keeps hurting the people in this town, and they are demanding that something be done. So about 50 or so people decide to have a meeting with the county sheriff to talk about what is going to happen to Ken. And the sheriff suggests that they start a neighborhood watch and not confront Ken like they wanted to. They wanted to go to Ken, and they would just all wanted to say, like, all of these 50 people, we don't stand beside you. We are standing in front of you. Like, we're all banding together. Like, this is the end of Ken. This is the end of Ken's world. Like, we are now going against you. But the sheriff is saying, hey, sometimes, a lot of the time, he's getting away with all of this because there's nobody there to be a witness. So if you guys are fed up, and if you guys know that if you witness a crime that Ken does, and you know that you're not scared of Ken or what he could do, then everyone just needs to watch out for each other. So that way, if something happens and you witness it, then you can be the witness that puts Ken behind bars. And so that's basically what he suggests. And he's like, there's nothing really I can do. But the next time he does something, just be there and watch it, and then be willing to testify. And then we'll be able to put Ken away. Now, the people don't like this answer. They want something done. Then they are fed up with Ken. They want something done now. And so they, as soon as the sheriff leaves, they decide to make other plans. So the about 50 people, they walk down the road from the center that they met to a tavern that Ken frequently went to in town. And Ken was there with his wife having a drink. This is the same girl that he married when she was 14. And they're there enjoying drinks and just enjoying their night. The group hang around the bar until Ken decides to leave. And he heads outside to go to his truck, and the group of about 50 or so people, they follow him out of the bar. They surround Ken's truck, and end up boxing Ken in when all of a sudden someone starts firing their guns. Ken ends up being shot twice by two different guns, and he bleeds to death in his truck in the parking lot, with about 50 people watching him die, and not a single person calls police or an ambulance. Now, when police do come, obviously nobody in that group calls the police, but somebody in the bar calls the police because there were gunshots. So police immediately get to the scene. They see what's going on. They see all of these people outside. So they immediately start interviewing people that were at the meeting. They know everybody that was at the meeting. The sheriff testifies to people who were at the meeting. And so they don't know, you know, were you somebody that walked from the meeting to the bar? But let's question all of these people because at least we have a starting point. So they meet with all these people that were at this meeting and nobody is saying anything. It's impossible to figure out who it could have been to begin with because the crowd was so big. But officers are interviewing these people and these people are just saying, I don't know. Like, I just started hearing guns and I like crouched down and I hid. So I didn't really see anything because I was just worried for my safety. So I couldn't really tell you what's going on. The local police even reached out to the FBI for help trying to figure out who did this. But still, the people of Skidmore were not talking. So here we are today, about 42 years later, and still no one from Skidmore has come forward with any information, and we still have no idea who the people were that actually killed Ken. Ken's lawyer would later say years down the road that Richard would say in an interview that a whole town got away with murder. I say this every single week that I look into these cases, and at first, listen, crime podcasts are pretty much like a murder here, a murder there, a murder there. So I like to try to sprinkle in like other different types of crimes rather than it's just murder all over the place because I mean, I do a deep dives into these cases, so it's kind of sad week after week when all I'm reading is murder. But it's like every single week with this specific theme, it's got a twist at the end where you're just like, I didn't see that coming, and this is the craziest story. And I think this is one in particular where what I immediately thought of for some reason was where the crawdads sing, where it's she gets away with it and people are just like, all right, well, it is what it is. Spoiler alert, sorry about that. But this is the craziest, like a whole town got away with murder. And so this is just like, well, first off, it's a story to the bullies out there that listen, a town could rally against you and then you're in trouble. But this is just a wild story of a whole town just being like, yeah, no, listen, he was a problem and nobody wanted to help. So someone took it within themselves to do this thing. And even I've read interviews where people were like, listen, it's been 40 years. I genuinely don't know who did that. I heard through the grapevine that it could have been so-and-so is so-and-so. But I, for sure, like myself, I'm not 100% of who did it. But they were just like, listen, they got rid of this bully. They got rid of this guy who was tormenting us. So, like, good on him. And so it's also just wild that here we are still 40 years later. Like, a lot of people in this story who were there have probably passed on and they're probably not here anymore, but to still know that stories are being passed down to children and to grandchildren. And so still nobody has any thought in their mind to say, hey, I think my grandpa might have done this, or I think my dad might have been the one to shoot him. And so it's just still crazy that we're sitting here 40 years later and still nobody's like, yeah, I think I'll just keep it a secret. So this was a cool episode to read on, and just see literally a whole community get together and support one another when they felt like there was nothing else they could do. So Oh man, episode 148. There you go. Like I said, two more episodes left in the season, and then I'm just going to take a little bit of a break to grow my inventory, and then we will be back. So that was episode 148. Thank you guys so much for listening. Make sure to come back for the next 2 weeks. Yeah, that's about it. Thank you guys so much for listening. This is Sam, and this is Crimeology.